Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's already 77 degrees on Friends Plaza in Urbana this morning, and it's 8:50 on Morning Edition. Time now for our first look at the commodity markets for this Tuesday morning. Sitting in for Dave Dickey this morning is Tom Rogers. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, everybody. The Midwest Direct Hog Markets today are called mostly steady, with some locations seen weak at the start of the day. Packer demand for the animals is uncertain beginning the short week after this Labor Day holiday. Livestock dealers and market managers say most plants appear to have plenty of hogs for the first 2 to 3 days. Some that don't plan to operate Saturday are nearly full. But there are also opinions that the weekend slaughter could be as big or bigger than the year-ago figure of nearly 232,000 head. That may spark better demand during the second half of the week. Peoria called steady today. They say the run is light. Despite the uncertain demand, they say the prices will probably be steady with a top price of 42. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, August 31st, before the holiday weekend, negotiated swine purchases were 15,392. For the base market hog on 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was 54 even to 65 even. The weighted average was 61.31. It was up 4 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilt sold from 42.79 to 51 even. The weighted average was 48.46. In the West, reported negotiated swine purchases were 10,969. The base price range was 53.50 to 66 even. The weighted average, 62.14. That was down 62 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrows and gilt sold from 41.24 to 50 even. The weighted average was 47.76.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Wheat prices continue their steep rise, and we may see another limit up call today from some people. We'll get a pre-opening call coming up from Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal. Before that, some of the overnight prices. And before that, we'll take a look at our growing area's weather. Here's meteorologist Scott Oltoff. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you very much. Well, we have drying weather that's been going on. Not much precipitation fell across the Midwest corn and soybean belt Friday through Monday. Most areas experienced net drying, although a few showers produced less than a quarter inch of rain occurred in about 15% of the western corn belt from Nebraska to southern Minnesota. Highest temperatures Friday through Sunday were in the 80s and lower 90s, with a few upper 70s in the Great Lakes region. A slow-moving frontal system Midwest late this week and into the weekend could produce some locally heavy rainfall, and the system will be closely monitored. The speed in which the front moves across the Midwest will be determined by the developing or non-development of a tropical or subtropical low-pressure center off the Florida-Georgia coast today and tomorrow. The storm moved away from the land today, but expected to move back close to the U.S. during the latter part of this week and in the weekend, slowing down the approaching front, possibly if it does develop. Cooler air will follow late this week. Frontal system in the Midwest with some weekend high temperatures limited to the upper 60s and 70s north and upper 70s and 80s south. Low temperatures will mostly be in the 40s and 50s with a few 60s and in the far south and a few upper 30s near the Canadian border. Another frontal system across the nation's midsection during the midweek next week will be faster moving and produce much lighter rainfall. The same may be true of a mid-month cool front. Showers will accompany each of the frontal systems, but resulting rainfall will be light. Temperatures will also bounce around quite a bit next week, with average readings from the next week ending up near average, and no crop-threatening cold is anticipated over the next 10 days. In the U.S. Delta Southeast, heavy rain fell from eastern Florida Panhandle through southern South Carolina over the weekend. Rainfall amounts in the region were 1 to as much as 5 inches, local amounts up to 10 inches at Savannah, Georgia. Rainfall coverage for the southeast was 75% with amounts of 10 to a half inch, with local amounts up to 1.2 inches in central Alabama. North Carolina and Virginia were driest. The southern 60% of the Delta received anywhere from a third of an inch to 1.56 inches of rain, while the northern 40% of the Delta was dry. Highest temperatures in the Delta were in the middle 90s. Highest temperatures in the southeast were in the upper 80s and lower 90s. Lowest temperatures in Delta in the southeast were in the 60s and lower 70s, with some 60s in North Carolina and Virginia. Today's forecast is a little wetter than Monday's forecast for the Delta and the southeastern states for this weekend through early next week. The middle to later part of next week is drier for both the Delta and southeast. Although the Delta is not expected to receive a general soaking rain during the next couple of weeks, the region will receive enough rain to improve crop conditions. This improvement will come too late, though, for early season crops, but late season soybeans, sorghum, and some cotton will benefit from the rain. In southeast Georgia and southern South Carolina will benefit from mostly dry weather this week after receiving too much rain during the weekend. Showers of mostly light intensity will occur daily in the southeast beginning this weekend, and it will maintain favorable crop conditions in most locations where crops have not been permanently damaged by the excessive dryness. In Australia, weekend rain was restricted to southern and eastern coastal regions, leaving most crop areas dry. Amounts of 2/10 to an 8/10 of an inch, with a local amount of 1.6 inches in eastern South Wales. High temperatures were mostly in the 60s and 70s, with lower 80s occurring in northern New South Wales and Queensland, and low temperatures were in the 30s and 40s. Queensland and far northeastern New South Wales will see scattered showers and thunderstorms each day this week through Friday. Rainfall of the next several days will bring beneficial moisture developing winter wheat, barley, and canola crops in the region. Crop stresses in the region should subdue in the result of moisture. Follow-up rain will be needed in the upcoming weeks as temperatures continue to rise, and the rain will not likely reach very far into western portions of the New South Wales crop country where rain is needed most. That's your growing area's weather. I'm meteorologist Scott Olthoff.
Thank you, Scott. Let's take a look at the overnight trade on the Kansas City Board of Trade. September wheat opened at 735 overnight, up 14 cents. Last traded up 29.5 cents. December, 746 and a quarter, up 15. Last traded up 30. And the March wheat, 734 and three quarters, up 1.25. Last trade up 27.5 cents. September wheat in Chicago opened at 784, up 17. Last traded up 29.75. December wheat, 797, up 21.5. Last trade up the 30-cent limit. March, 793, up 21.75. Last trade up 30. May wheat, 725, up 18. Last trade up 21.5. And July wheat for next year, 602 and three quarters, up a penny and three quarters on the open. Last traded up 18.5 cents. September corn in Chicago traded opened at 327.5, up 3.5. Last trade up 2. December 342.5, up 2.5. Last trade up 4. March 356 and three quarters, up three quarters. Last trade up 3.5. May corn 366.5, up a half. Last trade up 3.5. And the July of next year, 375.5, unchanged. Last trade up 2.75. September oats opened at 238.25, unchanged. Last trade up 3.75. September soybeans sets 875.25 on the open, up 7.25. Last traded up 8.5. November 885.5, up 3. Last trade up 13.25. January 899, up 1. Last trade up 13. The March 915.25, up 7.75. Last trade up 13.25. May beans of next year, 924.25, last trade or up 11.25 in the open, last trade up 13.25, and July beans, 933.25, up 11.25 on the open, last trade up 13. October soybean meal opened at 2.43 overnight, up 190, last traded up 5.20, and soybean oil for October, 36.94, up 15, last trade up 10. Joining us now to take a look at the pre-opening calls on this Tuesday after the vacation holiday is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Tom.
Really another wild ride today on the wheat market, I guess.
Yes, it is. I mean, and over the weekend, Australia announced less of a yield. Lots of people trying to buy wheat. India moved their bid from whatever it had been up to 795,000 metric tons. That was about twice what they had said they were going to buy. Wheat in France hit 10.21 a bushel. Wheat supplies in the world are the tightest ever on when you use what we're using versus the supply, and that just keeps dragging wheat up.
Any thoughts of how far it could go?
Not really. I mean, a lot of people didn't think we'd go this far. We've hit over $8 on December wheat. Last night we hit 805.5. Last week we were at 807.5 at one time. Nearby September hit $8 last night again. And it's just amazing. You get shipping it and add freight on it by the time it gets to countries that buy it from us, and they're just buying it like mad because we're one of the few that's got it to sell. It's $10, $11, $12 is what they're paying for it, and it hasn't stopped them.
Corn and beans following the wheat today, although there's some downward pressure on the corn pit?
Right. The beans are being pulled more than the corn. Corn is a little worried about harvest pressure. It was up 2 to 3 overnight to 4. We're looking 2 to 4 higher on corn. But again, we're also getting good yield reports on corn yields from where they have been harvesting.
And what's the pressure on the bean market today?
Bean market, I don't know that we have a lot of pressure, just that we're at high levels up at 9. January hit 9.11 last night. November hit right at the 9 level. And those are really high levels that do get some people to sell. I think we'll continue to have high prices on the beans until we find out whether we really have any good yields or not on the beans.
All right, let's review your calls on the Board of Trade today.
We're looking at 10 to 13 higher on soybeans, 2 to 4 higher on corn, and 30 higher on wheat.
And what's your take on the Merck today?
Merck, mixed. We were back and forth last week, and we think that'll continue this week.
All right, thanks for your time, Paul. Pete?
Thanks, Tom.
Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Taking a look at some of the outside markets, crude oil is at $74 a barrel, down 4 cents from Friday's close. The CRB index is down 133 at 307.43. The U.S. dollar is at the index, rather, at 81.09, up 28. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average at the moment is down slightly. We'll take a quick look at the latest tick, down 5 points right now at 13.352. The NASDAQ is up 16 points at 26.12, and the S&P 500 is up 4.5 points at 14.78. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. I'm Tom Rogers. It's 9:01 Central.